I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will...
Broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Well, the defense is now pressing Stormy Daniels on all the money she's made since making the allegations against Donald Trump. And we're following to see if the former and future president will speak outside the courthouse, because they'll be wrapping up shortly. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. This farce continues in New York City today. There's other stuff I got to get to as well. But I want to remind you, we have our watch party coming up on Saturday for the Trump rally in Wildwood at Mulligan Shore Bar. And love to see you there. Would love for you to join us. It's going to be a great day in Wildwood. Trump rally starts at 5 o'clock. And the watch party, I'll be there at 5, so we can hang out together. It'll be fun. Be food and drinks and all kinds of fun stuff. I was just thinking about today's Holocaust Remembrance Day, and Biden spoke, and, you know, whatever he said. Do you remember years ago when they tried to paint Donald Trump as an anti-Semite? You see what's happening in these college campuses, right? And I've been saying, making this point for a while now, these are all Democrats doing this. But if you remember, back in 2016, Jared Kushner, who's the president's son-in-law, wrote an op-ed in the New York Observer, the newspaper that he owned, and he said, my father-in-law is not an anti-Semite. And he had to go on this whole defense of Donald Trump. Do you remember all that back then? Back the Pepe the Frog, whatever the hell that was, and they were all the Thistara David, the nonsense that came out, all the lies, the media lies that they came out. Look at what's happening today. Look at whose political party this is doing these campus protests, these campus encounters. Who's doing all this? But I remember, I thought about this today driving to work as I was thinking that it's Holocaust Remembrance Day. And Jared Kushner's grandmother was in the Holocaust. You know, she was a survivor in one of the camps. And when Jared wrote this piece, he was mocked. I mean, across the media spectrum, they mocked him for this. Like the Daily Beast at the time had a story they wrote back then. It said, Jared Kushner, my father-in-law, Donald Trump, is not an anti-Semite. But what about his fans? And they wrote this whole thing, you know, despite the best efforts of his political opponents, they said, you know, Donald Trump attracts all these anti-Semites to his campaign. I mean, is anybody paying attention to what's going on right now? I just occurred to me today. I thought about that. So back then he wrote this piece about his father-in-law, and he had to write this because Donald Trump was getting all these accusations back then by people that, well, you know, I mean, guys on Twitter with their little frog memes who write anti-Semitic things. They're all Trump supporters. And there's like five people doing it back then. But now you've got campus turmoil going on and the likes of people like Michael Moore. Last time I checked, Michael Moore's not a Trump supporter. I mean, could be wrong, but... And Michael Moore is out there actually now suggesting that there should be more of these protests at college campuses, more of these encampments going on. This is what the Michael, this is what he said a little while ago. Take a listen. As soon as we play it, which we're not playing it.
Wait,
right
what
now.
Was it?
Michael Moore. You said Michael Moore?
Oh, yeah, I do have Michael. Sorry, hang on.
Chit-chatting again, not paying attention?
No, Henry was chatting at
me. I was not. Lies. Lies.
Okay. All right.
And if you haven't started an encampment at your college, do it. Take a stand. This is what's so great about your generation. You know, we handed you a world. I mean, I know my generation, we did some good things, et cetera, but let's face it, our planet, what we've done to it, how we haven't stopped the bastards from what they've done to it, how some of our movements have been co-opted by capitalist entities, trying to be green by making some green for yourself. I'm not going to get into everything now about how I feel about all this. I'm just grateful for Gen Z.
He wants more encampments. So back then, I remember Jared Kushner wrote this piece, and he wrote this at The Observer. He said, the Donald Trump I know. He said, it's that simple, really. Donald Trump is not anti-Semitic, and he's not a racist. Despite the best efforts of his political opponents and a large swath of the media to hold Donald Trump accountable for the utterances of even the most fringe of his supporters, a standard to which no other candidate has ever held, the worst that his detractors can fairly say about him is that he has been careless in retweeting imagery that can be interpreted as offensive. I read the Dana Schwartz piece that appeared on Observer.com. As always, there are thoughtful points by journalists, even those who work for me at The Observer, and they're not always right. While I respect your opinion, I want to show another side to explain why I disagree. In my opinion, accusations like racist and anti-Semite are being thrown around with a carelessness that risks rendering these words meaningless. If even the slightest infraction against what the speech police have deemed correct speech is instantly shouted down with taunts of racist, then what is left to condemn the actual racists? What do we call the people who won't hire minorities or beat others up for their religion? This is not idle philosophy to me. I am the grandson of Holocaust survivors. On December 7, 1941, Pearl Harbor Day, the Nazis surrounded the ghetto of Novogradok and sorted the residents into two lines. Those selected to die were put on the right. Those who would live were put on the left. My grandmother's sister, Esther, raced into a building to hide. A boy who had been seen running dragged her out, and she was one of about 5,100 Jews to be killed during this first slaughter of the Jews in the town. On the night before Rosh Hashanah in 1943, the 250 Jews who remained of the town's 20,000 plotted an escape through a tunnel they had painstakingly dug beneath the fence. The searchlights were disabled, and the Jews removed nails from the metal roof so that it would rattle in the wind and hopefully mask the sounds of escaping prisoners. My grandmother and her sister didn't want to leave their father behind. They went to the back of the line to be near him. When the first Jews emerged from the tunnel, the Nazis were waiting for them and began shooting. My grandmother's brother, Shannon, for whom my father is named, was killed along with about 50 others. My grandmother made it to the woods where she joined the Bielski Brigade of Partisan Resistance Fighters. There she met my grandfather, who had escaped from a labor camp called Voritz. He had lived in a hole in the woods, a literal hole that he had dug for 3 years, foraging for food, staying out of sight, and sleeping in that hole for the duration of the brutal Russian winter. I go into these details, which I've never discussed, because it's important to me that people understand where I'm coming from when I report that I know the difference between actual dangerous intolerance versus these labels that get tossed around in an effort to score political points. The difference between me and the journalists and Twitter throngs who find it so convenient to dismiss my father-in-law is simple. I know him and they don't. It doesn't take a ton of courage to join a mob. It's actually the easiest thing to do. What's a little harder is to weigh carefully a person's actions over the course of a long and exceptionally distinguished career. The best lesson I've learned from watching this election from the front row is that we are all better off when we challenge what we believe to be truths and seek the people who disagree with us to try and understand their point of view. In December 1972, a month after Richard Nixon's 49-state landslide, the New Yorker's great film critic Pauline Kael gave a speech that said, "I live in a rather special world. I only know one person who voted for Nixon. Where they are, I don't know. They're outside my ken." I encourage Ms. Schwartz and all the reporters to get out there and meet some of those people outside their ken. One of the reasons The Observer has more than quadrupled its traffic over the last 3+ years is that we've been actively broadening our perspective. And he goes on about how tolerant and loving his father is and the fact that there is real anti-Semitism in the world. There really is, obviously. But Jared had to take the time out of his day to write this. And people mocked him for doing so. And what you see on these college campuses, these are all Biden supporters. I mean, these are all Democrats. These are the people that are shouting these things about Israel right now. These are not MAGA people. See, I told you the lie that was told about him in 2016, they tried to paint him as an anti-Semite and a racist. And you just have to open your eyes and see what's happening. You just have to open your eyes and see what's happening right now on these campuses and understand where the Democrat Party is today. That's where it is. That's who they are. That's who they are. And they're committing violent acts, too. And it's being funded by people like George Soros and the guy that I mentioned yesterday, Rockefeller, all these other people that are behind all this stuff. They're doing these things because they believe in the cause, but they have no problem, none whatsoever, with these protesters who are saying some of the most vile things about Israel and about Jews and intimidating Jewish students on college campuses. But yet Biden's not being asked about any of it. Biden, nobody in the corporate media is turning around and going, hey, Biden, you know, these are your people. Not for nothing, but these are your people. And he's in this situation right now where he is being dragged down by this. Now, this was a very interesting piece that I saw earlier today about this. And it said here, it was, maybe you have this, Matt, John Kennedy, Senator John Kennedy. Biden is scared to alienate a certain wing of the Democrat Party. And he's right. He's absolutely right. But where are the comparisons? Where's the media questioning how it is that that Joe Biden is not calling these people out? Where's the media coming out to Joe Biden saying, hey, are you an anti-Semite? Because these are your voters. These are your people. This is what Senator Kennedy said.
President Biden could stop this stuff on a dime. On a dime. How can I put this? It just goes to show you that even old people can suck. Okay? All he would have to do is pick up the phone and call the president of Columbia University quietly and say, Madam President, how you doing? Listen, I don't have a lot of time and I know you're busy. You've got 14 days to get control of your campus or you're not getting any more federal money. Now, she will pounce on that like a ninja. But Joe Biden hadn't done that. And President Biden is not going to do that. And it's not just because even older people can suck. He's not going to do that because of the raw gut politics, and you know it, and I know it. President Biden is scared to death to alienate the Hamas wing of the Democratic Party. And he has read that new CNN poll, just came out, that said that 52% of likely voters... A CNN poll said 52% of likely voters will never, under any circumstances, on God's good green earth, vote for Joe Biden. 52%. 52% will vote for the guy who salts the French fries at McDonald's, before they will vote for Joe Biden. And he knows that. And that's why he is doing, or in this case, not doing, what he's not doing at these universities. And you should call it for what it is. Rule by mob. Rule by mob. A belief in diversity, equity, inclusion, and the right to kill Jews. And it's wrong.
Now, Biden doesn't get slapped with any of that, though. He doesn't, you know, some idiot on Twitter puts out, back in 2016, a frog. And they said, oh, these are Trump anti-Semitic people. And then they retweet something that had a Star of David on it. And they go, oh, this is anti-Jewish, Jew hate, blah, blah, blah. This stuff goes on now every day in these college campuses. Joe Biden doesn't get associated with any of it. Nobody has to come to Biden's aid and write a thing. Joe Biden's not an anti-Semite. Nobody has to come to Joe Biden's defense because nobody in the media would dare make those accusations against him. In fact, they're more than happy to watch the little game that he's playing right now, which is to not alienate the Hamas wing of the Democrat Party while still pretending like he has Israel's back, even though they're still delaying sending weapons to Israel. They're still delaying sending weapons to Israel as of right now. And you got people like AOC and others cheering that on, even though Congress voted to approve this and the president signed it into law. But Joe Biden goes out there and makes some comments. But nobody in the corporate media turns around and goes, these are your people. I mean, this is the Democrat Party. It's got a lot of Jew hate in it. No, I mean, forget some anonymous idiot on Twitter with a frog meme. I mean, like, these people are taking over campus buildings and chanting vile things and intimidating Jewish students. And nobody comes out and says, wow, the Democrat Party has an anti-Semite problem. Democrat problem has a Jew hate problem. I mean, in 2016, I remember having to explain to people on the radio all the time. Yeah, Donald Trump's not anti-Semitic. This is a ridiculous allegation. I mean, his daughter converted to Judaism and married Jared. Like, it's stupid, but the corporate media found a way. They found a ramp. Well, let's go after him for being a racist anti-Semite. So they did. And Biden goes out there and says a couple of little words about Israel here and there, and he condemns anti-Semitism, but he doesn't stop. And Kennedy's exactly right. He could call the presidents of these colleges and say, you know, this is really bad. Instead, the Michael Moores of the party and others are saying, do more of this. You should do more of this. Because they don't stand with Israel. They don't stand with Israel at all. Trump stood with Israel. He moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He did all the things that he said he would do. They never apologized for that. If you go back and you look in the archive, you'll find all these stories in 2016 about Donald Trump being anti-Semitic. You'll find all these stories back then. I remember them well. The NPR, all these other sites, all these other things. But when it comes to this and what's happening right now, do you notice the distance they're keeping from Biden and these college students and these protests? Because, well, ultimately, they need these students to vote for Biden. That's number one. And nobody's going to call them out and say, hey, Joe, these are your people. And if they're your people, what does that say about you? Because you're associating with them. So, you know, the hypocrisy runs rich here. Here's an anti-Israel protester speaking with the president of the State University of New York, SUNY, saying that they're not going to leave. So the university folds to their demands. Their demands are, of course, to divest from Israel completely. Cut 15.
Negotiate with us, and I understand that it is a policy. We are here and willing to accept consequences until you are willing to fold to our demands.
Mm-hmm. Fold to your demands, but then you said negotiate.
This isn't ending until our demands are met.
Should we take down the tents?
No!
Tents are a problem. I know that is in our policy. Hammocks are also in the policy, and that has been ignored for years on end and is used in our marketing campaign. Using the policy now, but we haven't been using it to the hammocks for years on end.
Okay, and the hammocks don't stay up permanently either, right?
When it's nice out, hammocks are out pretty much 24/7.
But you like the hammocks. Anyway, these are Biden's people. These are Democrats. These are not MAGA people. These are not Trump supporters. Just pointing that out. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Listen, my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We had such a great time there on Friday. I hope you were there with us, because if not, you missed an amazing show. But you have a second chance coming up on June 21st, Friday, June 21st. And you can book your June midweek stay today, but rooms are selling fast. So you don't want to wait, because the Grand Hotel sells out every summer. Because it's a beautiful resort with a huge outdoor heated pool, a big heated indoor pool, game room for the kids. It's got everything you could possibly want. A restaurant right on site, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Great food. It's got a pool bar, beach concession stand. And here's the thing. When you book your June midweek stays, the longer you stay, the more you save, because you're going to get back resort credits. So you stay three nights, you get $60 a night in resort credit. Five nights gets you $70 a night. Seven nights gets you $80 a night per night in resort credits. You can use them at Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, take the family on a whale watching boat cruise. The choice is yours, but always book direct with them for the best rates, and do it before they sell out, because they sell out every summer. The Grand is the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate events, baby and bridal showers. With four ballrooms, they have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. So just call and ask to talk to my friend Caitlin, and she will help you have your dream event. To book your stay today at the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place, call 800-257-8550, 800-257-8550, or grandhotelcapemay.com.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, as we continue on this Tuesday afternoon, Trump is set to speak after Stormy Daniels' testimony. We will bring it to you, of course. Welcome back to the show, 855-839-1210, and on Twitter, at Rich Zioli. Tudor Dixon is the best, damn it, she is. And she joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. She should be Michigan's governor, but I'm glad she isn't, because she makes time for me. So how are you, Tudor?
I would make time for you no matter what, Rich. Don't say that.
Even if you were governor?
Absolutely,
I
yes.
I don't believe that. You'd be too busy. And we never would have met, because you wouldn't have been on Jimmy Fallon's show, and then, you know, you'd have been too cool for us.
No, it was fate. We would have met.
Well, it certainly was. Well, I'm glad we met, and you're the best, and it's great to have you back on. And I know that Michigan... We got to win Michigan, and I know that you are spearheading the effort out there to do so. So can we win it? Can we do this?
We have to win Michigan. I think, yes, we can win Michigan. It's going to take work because Michigan is definitely a purple state. And the Democrats are working hard, so the Republicans have to work just as hard, actually harder. And I think that's been historically challenging for us to get across to across the country, not just to Michigan, to really understand the intricacies of the ground game on the left, because Barack Obama was a community organizer that blew that up across the country, and community organizing went to a new level of big money, big operations, big political organizations coming in and creating this grassroots like feel, but managed like a business. And that's what the Republicans have not figured out yet. That's what we did not have in 2022. And that's what we must have in 2024.
Yeah, and Republicans have to get over the hesitation to embrace mail-in balloting, for example, because every advantage that we can take advantage of, we have to. And these things are not going away, as you know, as we may want them to, but they're here to stay. And so got to seize the opportunities.
Well, they love mail-in ballots because they know they have the vote. They're literally ticking it off in September. They go, okay, these ballots came back in. We know those were Democrat voters. We know how many votes we need to get. We know what the polls show. We know how badly we need to beat them. And they are starting the election day at the beginning of September or whenever it starts in your state. In Michigan, they start in October going through and getting everything back. And they are winning the election before election day. Going, go to the polls. And we're already behind. We have no idea where we are in the absentee ballot race, and it's just irresponsible.
All right. And I do wish you had won the governor, because your governor over there is a tyrant, Gretchen Whitmer, and you'd be fantastic in the job. I read recently that she's declared an extraordinary animal health emergency and imposed the most comprehensive measures in the country to combat highly pathogenic avian flu. So my question is, how soon does she lock down Michigan? And will her husband still try to get his boat out?
It is boating season. It's coming up. So there is a good chance that he will be out there bird free because of the avian flu. There will be no birds allowed on the lake.
I still can't get over the fact that guy did that. That he went up to them and was like, do you know who I am? I'm the governor's husband. Give me my boat.
I mean, that's the best part. Like, that's a good thing. Anybody who's stupid enough to be like, you know, I'm married to Gretchen Whitmer is like, yeah, get out.
All those guys probably turned around and said, man, you've got some bad taste. All right, no, that's petty. I shouldn't have said that. That's just mean. By the way, I need to ask you.
Midst of the lockdown. Everybody's been locked down. Restaurants have closed. Like, well, come on, read the room, man. You come in and you're like, hey, do I get special treatment? Yes, you get kicked right out the door.
Exactly right. By the way, I have to ask everybody that comes on the show, have you ever shot and killed a puppy?
I am definitely free of ever having shot and killed a puppy. No way, man. I mean, what in the world? And what is this tour? It's just so, I mean, honestly, it's like, why is this comms person still working for her? Good grief.
I don't know. You have a wonderful comms person in Sarah. I hope that they don't try to steal her away, because they need somebody to jump in there now and say, give me the shovel. Stop digging immediately.
Oh, my gosh. I talk about a gravel pit. I know. I'm like, I'm watching this, and I'm like, whoa. Sarah and I were watching this, actually, and she looked at me and she said, if that were your interview, we would drive home in the car in silence. And it's like, because there is training for this. And I think that's the thing that is so upsetting. I think Kristi Noem has been an amazing governor. She's obviously incredibly smart, a great manager. This is a huge comms error. And also, you know, coming out and discussing this story, I don't know what happened in this story, but it's not a good story. And we're looking at this and we're like, there are ways of managing crises. This is the opposite of how you do it.
Yeah, well, it's nice that you guys would have driven home in silence. I would have Ubered it home had I been with you. I'd be like, I can't even be in the same car with you. That was so bad. It was so disastrous. I'm getting an Uber. Tudor Dixon, no, I was rooting for her on the shortlist for VP, the Veep Stakes, but it looks like now that those odds have changed according to the Vegas odds makers. But Michigan is critical, obviously, as is Pennsylvania. If we can win those two states, then Trump wins the presidency. Let's think about the auto workers for a second. I had to laugh when the head of the auto workers union came out and acknowledge that a great majority of our members are still going to vote for Donald Trump and not for Joe Biden. You know these people, Tudor Dixon. You know these people better than anybody in Michigan. Talk to me about what their wants and their needs.
A job, that's a good start, making sure their job is filled there. And they know, especially in Michigan, that the factories that are making gas-powered cars are going to go by the wayside. They're going to have to either retrofit them to make electric vehicles, or they're going to build new factories. And they're not building those factories in Michigan. As we see more and more factories be built, they are built in other states. They're built in Indiana. They're built in Kentucky. They're built in Tennessee. They're not being built in Michigan. So if you are a Michigan auto worker, you're going, okay, is my job secure? Will I still be able to stay here? Do I have to move out of Michigan? And you're also watching this whole climate obsession that is costing us immense amounts of money in the state of Michigan, because not only is she saying you're going to have to be driving an electric vehicle, and that's going to change not only the automotive industry from the manufacturer's standpoint, it's also going to be the tier one, tier two, tier three suppliers that are all in Michigan, mind you, that supply to all these plants. Their jobs are going to be at risk. She's also saying that in Michigan, we have to be 100% renewable energy by 2040 and 60% by 2035. Right now, we're in like the 17% zone. Give me a break. We already pay the highest energy costs in all of the Midwest. And so she's not only going to say, you have to go out and buy an $80,000 at least dollar car, you're also going to be spending the most in energy that anybody's spending in the entire country. And it's probably not going to work most of the time.
Yeah, it's amazing how these Democrats are so completely, tone deaf's not the right word, because they're so in this climate cult that they don't see how disastrous this is to them politically. There was this article in the Wall Street Journal recently about these guys who work in the natural gas industry in Pennsylvania. That's our industry here, as you know, Tudor, and they're all up outside of Pittsburgh, and they're saying in the article, I'll never vote for a Democrat again. I mean, these guys want to take our jobs. And they don't want to hear, oh, you can go, we'll teach you how to lay broadband cables or anything. Like, no, I like working in this industry. I chose it for a reason, and I don't want to lose my job. And the Democrats are not even hiding this anymore. And they're openly out there trying to one-up each other. It's in the 2028 presidential stakes where Gretchen Whitmer and Phil Murphy and all these other people, Gavin Newsom, are going to be battling to say who was wackier on climate, who put more people out of work, who implemented more tyrannical policies that wound up taking away freedom.
But Rich, let me go back for 1 minute to the Kristi Noem scenario, because I know everybody is upset about this situation, but you make a great point about these other governors, because Gretchen Whitmer can have roundtables with women and talk about the need to be able to murder their Down syndrome babies or their trisomy 18 babies and just get lavished with praise about murdering these babies. And yet Kristi Noem is going through a death march of media right now because she talked about taking care of a dog who she says was going to attack her children. Now, I don't agree with the dog situation, but I cannot understand how, as society has gotten to the point today where we accept a governor going out on a nationwide tour talking about murdering babies that don't meet the criteria that she believes is necessary to be a perfect child for a woman. And yet, this woman, Kristi Noem, is getting eviscerated over a story about a dog. Why isn't it the same for Democrats who are just cheering on the bloodbath in this country that is abortion?
Yeah, look, you're exactly right, Tudor. And it's the double standard that we always have to deal with. And we have to be smart enough to understand that. And we have to, you know, accept the world the way it is. The double standard is outrageous. Like, for example, I'm sure you heard what Governor Kathy Hochul of New York said regarding young black kids in the Bronx. Did you hear this clip by chance?
I haven't heard this.
All right, let me play this for you, and we'll find out if the media is going to savage her over this. I'm just curious if they will. Here, this is the governor of New York, Cut 26.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
Tudor, could you imagine if you or I came out and said that young black kids don't know what a computer is in the year 2024? Could you imagine if a Republican said that?
These are the same people that say black people can't get IDs and they never get raked over the coals for that. This right. is ridiculous. I mean, the fact that they can insult their own voters, but why do those voters come back to them? Because if they actually are listening, but that's the problem, exactly what you're saying. The fact that the media doesn't highlight this, the media will absorb the story, they will chomp down on it and hide it. It'll just disappear, just like the Hunter Biden story. These stories are disappeared so that the communities that they hurt the most never hear the truth about the politicians who despise them, who don't think highly of them, who think that they are lowly people, and that's how they treat them constantly, because their own voters they treat this way because they don't care about them until it comes to election time. And that you can look at this, just look at the MSU situation. Alyssa Slotkin ran to Lansing when the shooter came to MSU, and she talked about how devastated she was by this, because guess what? It was kids she identified with. It was kids that she thought were worthy. But Lansing is the 17th most violent city in the country. There are shootings constantly. 24 people were killed last year. She only came and talked about the people at MSU's campus. The other ones, she doesn't give a darn about those people. And that's why that community continues to suffer, because the elected officials there don't actually care about them.
Tudor Dixon, I'm so glad you joined me today. I got to ask you, the college situation in Michigan, how crazy and nutty is it? I mean, speaking of, again, double standards in the media, I remember, you remember 2016, everybody was trying to accuse Donald Trump of being anti-Semitic because a couple people on Twitter put out idiot, you know, frog memes or whatever. These are Biden's people. These are Democrat voters. They may not vote for him. But what's the situation like in Michigan, and what happens if these Democrat college students either don't vote for Biden or vote third party, stay home altogether? And what's the scene out there like?
Well, I don't know if you saw, but Gretchen Whitmer was confronted at her daughter's graduation ceremony. She was outside of, they were at a restaurant, they were celebrating. Her daughter was graduating from the University of Michigan. But you know what? The Democrat Party hasn't put out their talking points. Gretchen Whitmer is great if she has the abortion talking points and everybody loves her. When this girl came up and started accusing her of genocide, she just completely freezes, because they cannot take a stand on this. I will give your senator credit, John Fetterman, credit on this. When people come up to him, he said, "Hey, I know where I stand. I stand with Israel. Go bug someone else." Yeah. You know what? Gretchen Whitmer can't say that, because she doesn't know where she stands, because the talking points haven't been written and she can't think for herself.
You know why John Fetterman says that, right? Because his body double has completely taken over the role. I'm just kidding. But you remember the movie Dave, where that happened? That's kind of like John Fetterman.
I know, but I kind of like his body double better.
Body double's better. I don't think the wife likes him, though. That's the problem. I don't think the wife approves. The liberal media certainly doesn't approve. You know, Tudor, I don't know how long it's going to last here, but the body double's definitely a better version.
You know, they have to own him because they need his vote. They need him there. They don't really care where he stands in Israel, because they know that ultimately they stand with Israel. They're just too afraid to say it. And they're like, okay, well, he's going to do what he's going to do, and he probably can get away with it because he's wearing a hoodie. And for some reason, that makes you somewhat attractive to the left.
Would you ever let your husband go to a black tie event wearing a hoodie with a tuxedo shirt? Like a tuxedo T-shirt printed on the hoodie.
I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know how he gets away with it. But like I said, this is somewhat adorable to the left. And so somehow he can get away with wearing that and standing for Israel. And I say I respect the fact that he'll at least say where he stands, whether he's standing there in shorts or he's standing there in a suit, which we'll never see.
No, I don't want to see him in shorts ever again. Honestly, it's a terrifying look. Listen, next time you come on the show, we got to do this on YouTube, because you've got a face for television. I have a face for radio, And it's not right. The audience should be able to see Tudor Dixon as well as hear from you. So we'll do that again. And when are we both going back on Fela's Saturday Night Show? I mean,
we need to
big shot now.
That.
He's big timing us. What's going on here? We made him. You and I made him.
Exactly,
we were on his
right.
first show when he hosted. He would be nothing without us.
We need a reunion show. So we'll have Sarah talk to him. She has a way with getting what she wants.
All right, Sarah, you make that happen. The Tudor Dixon Zioli reunion is on Fela,
yes.
Saturday Night Fox News is what we need. All right, my friend, thank you for making the time today. Thanks for all your hard work you're doing for President Trump out there in Michigan, a must-win state. And come back and talk to us again very, very soon, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And don't forget to check out Tudor's podcast, too. She does a great job with the Tudor Dixon podcast, which I've been a guest on a few times. And you definitely want to check that out. It's an excellent podcast. Subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so I wanted to let you know, Trump just spoke a short time ago. He's set to depart the courthouse following remarks. And I'm going to take a quick break here, but I just want to let you know, Stormy confirms she authorized somebody to shop the story. Does not remember requiring $100,000, though, for it. All right, we'll get back to that. That is the big story of the day today, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. We're coming right back.
Thanks for listening to the Zioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
We got some audio of Trump outside the courthouse today and some updates that are happening from the trial. We also have any other guests? No more guests today, right? Well, Guy Shiraki is going to join us at 6:30, right? That's a long time from now. Man, it's already 5 o'clock, though. Holy cow.
I mean, you've been going on a tear. It's been making things fly by.
Yeah, I've been fired up today over this. Fired up. I am fired up. But now I've lost all my energy, so I'm just going to collapse. You guys take over.
Don't worry. There's only a half hour of nonstop talk coming up.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
You don't want Henry to take over.
Nah.
No.
Let's do a quick line. I'll be right back in. Don't worry. No, actually, I took this. Somebody gave me this energy shot thing. It's pretty good.
Why are you taking energy shots?
Vitamins.
They're not good for your health.
Vitamins and minerals.
I don't believe that.
There's vitamins, minerals, and cocaine. It's a nice blend. It's a caffeine blend. You know what's all the rage now is psychedelics.
All the rage with who?
The people.
What people? I don't know anyone that takes psychedelics.
Ketamine.
Yeah. Oh, that's an Elon Musk thing.
Of course, you uppity Harvard people don't know anyone that takes psychedelics.
Elon Musk is all about taking ketamine for whenever he gets in a down mood. He does ketamine. He takes an IV, I think, of it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I wouldn't do that every time I was having a bad time.
But... having a bad day, I get some special K. Why not?
Might have to work on some things there, Elon.
Sounds fun. What did I want to mention?
I don't recommend you follow in Elon's footsteps, if that's what you're throwing out there.
Maybe microdose some shrooms.
What? That sounds like...
No, people do that, too.
I know. Oh, yeah. Lots of people do that.
Yeah. That's all the rage as well. That's all the rage as well, is microdosing mushrooms. I got a buddy who does that.
Yeah.
And won't share, apparently. So. But Ben Affleck is getting a lot of blowback for his... words at the Tom Brady roast. We have some audio of that, and you know I hate him, so he spent 6 minutes of his time criticizing the fans during the 3-hour special, which aired on Sunday. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show as well. What are the updates from outside the courthouse, Matt DeSantis, or inside the courthouse, I should say, from the New York Times and others?
So the New York Times columnists that are reporting from the courthouse are all saying that the last moments of court today, prior to it being adjourned, were pretty heated. Jonathan Swain called Stormy Daniels indignant at times. Mm. So Trump's attorney, Nichols, I think I'm pronouncing that right, accused Daniels of seeking to extort Trump through the hush money deal. And Stormy apparently just kept shouting false, false, false.
Just yelling in court?
Yeah.
Really?
She got quite angry, apparently.
Interesting. Wow.
And she's going to be testifying again on Thursday.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, they're not done with her just yet.
They're not done with Stormy. Who's not done? The prosecution or the defense? Or
I believe both.
Both. Okay. And then the former president spoke outside the courthouse. I'll play that as soon as we get to the bottom of the hour at 5 o'clock. I'll share that with you. But I want to mention we'll have the Trump rally viewing party live at Mulligan's Shore Bar this coming Saturday, 5 to 7 p.m. I'll be there, and we're going to have a blast. Mulligan's is a great bar. It's a lot of fun. There'll be food. There'll be drinks. There'll be music, and we'll watch the rally. It'll be a blast. So Mulligan's Shore Bar in Wildwood. And do we know any of the logistics in terms of parking or anything like that? Or
no, of course not.
All right.
No, that was not shared with me.
I should probably think about that. Mulligan's is not exactly in proximity to where the rally is going to be, so hopefully it won't be an issue. But I don't know what the road closure plans are going to be like. We'll have to figure some of that out between now and Saturday.
I'm sure somebody's working on it.
I have to park in Avalon and walk. Something like that.
Maybe Trump's motorcade could drop some people off at the bar.
That could be nice.
He's got plenty of cars.
He does. Yeah, it's a big motorcade. And they show it on TV all the time. Look, he's driving. Look, he's driving. He's driving again. He's going to court. He's leaving court. He's going to court and leaving court. So dumb. This whole thing. I just wish it was televised. It's not right that it's not being televised. I would just turn the whole, I would, every day, 3 o'clock, just turn the trial on. That's what I would do. Whole show.
You just basically want it to be televised so you don't have to work.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Actually, I'm in for that.
I mean, that's what CNN did during OJ. It's like, here you go.
Probably had monster ratings, too.
They did. We would have monster ratings for this. So, all right. Well, the looks like here the police have cleared a University of Chicago campus encampment. Someone with a mask on is yelling at the reporters. A lot of Palestinian flags flying. This is a political problem for Joe Biden, I'm telling you. All right, I'm going to get into what Trump said a few moments ago at the bottom of the hour, but I want to tell you the weather outside is beautiful. A lot of rain, though. We're getting a lot of rain. It's spring. Spring showers bring May flowers, and it's the great time of year to be outside, but you can't enjoy your backyard if you have water problems. Static water causing mosquitoes, hard time mowing the grass, or worse, damage to your hardscaping, basement walls, your pool liner. If any of these problems are happening, please reach out to my buddy Lou Vargo at Garden State Earthworks. They remove the water, creating a drier, more enjoyable environment for you and your family. Listen, don't trust a landscape company for your drainage issues. You need the experts. This is what Garden State Earthworks does. And they did it for me twice in two different homes. First time I met Lou was years ago in a home we owned 10 years ago or so, and we had a wet basement. I met him. He said, I promise you, you'll never have another drop of water in this basement ever again, and we never did. Second time was our new house that we bought. The backyard was a freaking swamp all the time. The water would just sit there for days, and he drained the water away, and our backyard is enjoyable, and it's a great, they do a great job. Garden State Earthworks. If your pool liner is shifting, that's a problem. If you've got any patio or your walls are getting damaged, just reach out to them. They're super busy, but if you tell them I sent you, they will make you a priority. 856-848-4444. That's 856-848-4444 or GardenStateEarthworks.com. Tell them I sent you, and they'll make you a priority. Call them now because they're scheduling for spring, and these guys are the best at what they do. They will drain the water away, guaranteed. Trust me, I've used them twice, and I know their great work. 856-848-4444.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.